Why don't you take your Bibles and go to Isaiah 58. Here's a subject I don't think I've ever taught on before. Well, at least partially. Isaiah 58 talks a lot about... talks a lot about fasting. And most people have a... the title of the teaching is True Fast, Not Religion. I know that there's churches and people, they talk about fasting, they think about fasting. And you know what? I don't care about any of that. I don't care what religious groups, what you have thought about. I hope it's matches up with Scripture. But all I'm going to talk about is what Scripture says. And see if it aligns up with all the things that you've ever thought about with when it comes to this subject. Because it probably doesn't. So in Isaiah 58, God says here to his prophet, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins." Scream it out. Let them know what's going on here, what they're doing. "Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteously, that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice, the words of justice. They take delight in approaching to God." Sounds great. Verse 3, "Wherefore have we fasted, saying, wherefore have we fasted, saying they, and thou seest not?" You don't see us. "Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the days of your fast, you find pleasure." This is God now. "In the days of your fast, you guys find pleasure." In other words, it's for your own benefit. "And you exact all your labors." Now that's King James. Other translations say you afflict all your workers, the people who work for you. In other words, you're going to fast and they're going to work harder or whatever. "Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high." You know, people fast. A lot of people, it has a lot to do in their minds with food. Okay. Maybe not. But the point is, whatever this Bible is going to teach us today, that's what I'm going to believe. Okay? But these guys are doing it the religious way. They're doing it because it's a religious activity. They're doing it because they want God to give them something. And it seems like they're seeking God. It seems like they want to do the right thing. It seems like they want to hear from God, want to know his word. But we'll see. But what God says here so far in this section is that the reason that they're doing it is for their own benefit, their own pleasure. They're doing it to show how great they are. They're doing it for strife. Oh, you know, I fasted today. What'd you do? They're doing it for, show how great they are, how wonderful they are. They're doing it. See how holy they are. This is not going to float. You're not going to hear from heaven. That's what God says. You do all of this, you are not going to hear. Heaven is like a brass ceiling. Your prayers hit the ceiling, and that's as far as they go. You know, there are things that obstruct people from getting heard. There are things that God just won't accept. There are things that I don't care how much you cry and how much you think you're doing what you're supposed to do. These people obviously did in verse 2. They sought him daily. But, again, it was for their own benefit. It's all about you. Now, that can take a lot of forms. But I'm just simply saying, keep the big picture in your mind, okay? It's verse 5. Is this the fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush? That's like a bent over reed. You're laying on the floor. You're bent down. You prostrate yourself. And you do that, and you spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Will thou call this a fast that is the acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. The fast that I want is this. Does that sound like the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ to you? Kind of does to me, you know, when he first came out, you know, to open the eyes of the blind, to break the bonds, the darkness. Now, let's get it straight. I am not criticizing anybody else and what they do and how they practice their religion, all right? I'm just reading what the book says. Let the book, let the word of God be the critic. This is what God wants. He could care less what these people do as far as their practices. And fasting's been around a long time. You see it in the Bible. People fast 40 days. They fast 3 weeks. They fast 2 days. They call a fast to get the prayers answered of a nation. They do all of these things. And not one place in the Bible does God command to fast. You can't find one commandment where God requires it. Jesus talks about it. You know, John the Baptist guys did it. The Pharisees did it. A lot of people did it. And Jesus said, you know, there is, you know, he did say that when I'm gone, they will fast. Okay? I mean, so there's a thing that people can do it, but it's never commanded. I don't pretend to understand everything about this. That's why we're just reading the Bible. And we're going to let the Bible talk. What is it to loose the bands of wickedness? You know, when you read the context of this chapter, this is about the sins of the people of Israel as a nation and as individuals. They are not living the way God wants them to live. They are living, if you read some of these verses we've just gone through, they are fighting, they are arguing, they are mistreating one another, they are pretentious, they're self-seeking. That's just the ones we've read here so far. What does God want? to loose the bands of wickedness, to get rid of sin out of your life, to choose to do it God's way and not yours. And some people are bound in wickedness. You know, there are things, there are addictions, there are practices that people do that, and they carry out, and then they come to fellowship, and they come to church, and they go, and they stand before God, and they want God to answer their prayers and everything else, and yet they're literally, no, this ain't going to work, because they're not really in fellowship with God. They don't really have, they're not willing to give up the evil. You know, and evil comes in different forms. I mean, just think of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the life of what the scripture asks us to live. Lack of forgiveness. There are people who are bound in hate. There are people who are bound in selfishness. There are people who are bound in, name it. I mean, you know, one of the big ones in the scripture, it's idolatry, is covetousness. I mean, that's a bondage. That's a life practice. That's something that binds you. It's an evil that binds individuals. There are people who, and, you know, I'm just trying to point out a few things so that you can think about it. If you're going to practice this verse where you loose the bands of wickedness, then fighting, anger, corruption, all of these things are part of that. Every single part of it. And you have to maybe take the fast and consider, take some time with God and ask Him to show you what you're screwed up with. Because there are a lot of people who don't even know that they're screwed up when they're screwed up. It's plain as simple as that. I said it in a very direct way. It says, and to undo the heavy burdens, the bondage. I lost my place. To undo the heavy burdens. You know, I'm not going to be able to think for you with every aspect of this. But what puts people in bondage? Fear. There's a lot of it. It's not just a lot of fear from outside sources, like people blowing people up. I'm not talking, that's a fear, but that's something we live with today in our time, that kind of evil. But you also have a fear of what people think of me, a fear of not being able to say things that are true, a fear of what other people will think. And it causes bondage. You know, a fear of not being able to speak your mind. You know, of not being able to teach the truth. I can't imagine how many, I've been teaching the word for 45, for a long time. All right, long time. I don't count the years. I know that the church we started here, Christian Outreach Fellowship, next month, I just realized it's going to be 30 years. That's long. Everything seems like it's long. 50 years of marriage, 30 years. I mean, time's moving on. But, you know, I've learned a lot. And I've had to change, get back to my point. I have, as a man who's tried to do the things of God, I have learned more and had to change and teach differently as the years went by. And I was embarrassed because I had it wrong before. But I learned. And you know what? I would rather be embarrassed and have to come and say to you, no, this is what I've learned now, and this is what I believe is here, and teach it to you, than just stay where I was, where everybody agrees with me. And because I have changed over the years, I went from having 1,000 people to, a handful. I got to stay honest before God, right? I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I have to stay honest with God. You don't sign up for this thing. There's no membership. You come and go as you please. And there's no, I tell people what I believe on the website, but every once in a while I got to change what I said. And I'm not ashamed of that, because I believe men should learn more as the years go by. And yet I watch whole millions of people in denominations that if you don't line up with exactly what they say and how they say it and the doctrines that they have, no matter what anybody has learned, you're out. I remember I was in part of a thing that threw me out once upon a time. To break the bondage, to take away, to undo the heavy burdens, whatever they look like. There are people who demand that people do things that the word doesn't say. There are religions that demand that you sacrifice this or sacrifice that. And really, the scripture doesn't talk about it. Those are burdens that they laid on the people. Jesus Christ yelled at the Pharisees all the time for this. You make this thing so irksome, so difficult, so crazy that you destroy these people with your rules and regulations. That's why I just want to read what it says about fasting. I want you to read the Bible for what it says and not what you think or somebody else thinks about it. To let the oppressed go free. It's not talking about emptying out the jails of the people who, I think that's where people's minds go sometimes. You got a lot of criminals in jail and you got a few people that shouldn't be there, a few. But it's not talking about that. Saying, let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. You break the burdens. I can't take away the fact that everybody's got to work for a living. I can't take away the fact that you got to get up in the morning and go to work. I can't take away what people would consider burdens. What I can do is alleviate pain and burden, from people who are stressed out. I can help them with the promises of God and the work. There are burdens of people who are taking care of others who are sick, and I can help them. I can help where there's things that I can do to help, and then there's things that you can't do to change anything for anybody. But what you see in front of you, you can do. And I don't care if it's helping the little old lady take the groceries up the stairs. You have alleviated a burden. You've helped. Do you realize that all of these things has to do, that we read in verse 6, almost everything here has to do with your behavior either with yourself or with others. This is the fast that God has chosen. Verse 7, it says, Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, to give out food to the hungry? This is what he wants. That thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house. When thou seest the naked, that thou coverest him, when thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh, from your own family. In Titus it says, if a man don't take care of his own, he's worse than an infidel. In Matthew chapter 25, if you remember, Jesus Christ, when he comes back and he separates the goat from the sheep, he's going to say, hey, you gave a cup of water to one of these little ones, you gave it unto me. You didn't give it, you're on the other side. This is the difference between believe. This is what God's talking about fasting in Isaiah 58. This is the chapter on fasting in the Bible. This is like the major thing. Is there steak and salad in here? People make stuff up. Now, I'm not saying that, Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. I don't think he ate very much. Daniel went out and fasted. I don't think he ate very much. But it's not the point. The point is seeking God at a certain time, seeking the Lord. And the things that are necessary to seek the Lord are the ones that the Lord is talking about here. Not sitting on a pile of ashes and sackcloth and moaning and bowing your head and moaning and moaning. That ain't fasting. And just because you don't eat on that particular day or week or month, it's not the point again. First thing, get rid of sin. The bonds of wickedness. Don't say that you're doing the word of God when you're not doing it. And then help. Bring deliverance to yourself and to others. Deliver yourself from the bondage that you're in. And deliver others from the bondage. And then go out and help other people. I can't feed the entire planet, but I can certainly deal with the people that are in front of me. I can look to try to help. Verse 8 says, then shall thy light. When you do this, when you don't forsake your own family and you don't hide yourself from them, when you help others, it says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. Boy, couldn't say that. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. I think you'll hear from heaven, and you live this way. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, it says, if thou take away from thee from the midst of thee the yoke, the bondage, and put forth of thy finger and speaketh vanity. If thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light arise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee and continue to satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters faint not. And they shall say, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt rise up the fountains of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairers of the breach, and the restorers of the path to dwell in. That is, so what does the Bible talk, I mean, how much food are we talking about here? Yeah, no menu. I'm not saying that fasting, as people practice it with lack of food, I'm not saying that you shouldn't or whatever. I'm just saying, what's God talking about? Giving up a steak or giving up your sin? Giving up, you know, and making yourself uncomfortable by not doing what he doesn't want you to do. See, the flesh is weak, right? Our flesh wants to feed itself. It wants what it wants, when it wants, how it wants, and it don't care about nothing else. That's our flesh. We still have the old man nature. We still have the flesh. So the flesh wants to get drunk. The flesh wants to do this. The flesh wants to have sex. The flesh wants everything that the flesh wants. We do it God's way. That's a fast. We live his way. We love his way. We give. We care. We consider others. We minister to them rather than ourselves. This, I believe, is the Lord's fast. Go to Matthew chapter 6. This is the way the Bible seems to lay things out. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't a fast where food is concerned. There is. It's obviously to see. But again, it's never commanded. And I think that even with that, in Jesus Christ's time, everybody misses the point. They think that, you know, keeping themselves from enjoying food for a particular time, that they're, I mean, people today, they write books, there's health benefits for this, there's this, that. I'm not saying that there's not. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. I'm just saying, I'm thinking about what God wants. It says in Matthew chapter 6, it says, verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father in heaven. When you do mercy deeds, that's an alm. When you're merciful to somebody else, doing something nice, if you want everybody to see that you're doing this, then you got no reward with God. You did it for everybody else. Sounds like Isaiah 58 to me. You're doing it for your own pleasure, your own benefit. Therefore, when thou dost thy alms, when you do your mercy deeds, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may be seen, may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They got what they're going to get. They got glory from men. That's it. They got the reward. God's got nothing to do with this. It's just like you said in Isaiah 58. You're not going to hear from heaven. But when thou do thy alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing. and thy alms, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Same thing when you pray. Don't make a big, we've read this section many times. Don't make a big show. Don't worry about what other people think. Don't pray for 20, 25 hours. Oh, look at how holy he is. Talk to your Father. Talk to your Father in heaven. Enter into thy closet. You just keep it between you and the Lord with all the deep things that you got on your heart. You know, there are things that we pray corporately. There are things that the church should pray for, the outreach of the word, for one another, you know, for those that are persecuted, those that need help. But mostly it's all for the outreach of the word of God. It's for God to be glorified, to give him the praise, the glory that he deserves. You know, the things that I pray for in my life where I got a whole list, that's between me and the Lord. You know, once in a while. Same thing when it comes to, you know, after he teaches them how to pray, then he says in verse 16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fast, anoint thy head with oil, fix your hair, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Do you get it? The motive is everything. The action can look just the same. You know, a person who wants to fast, and I'm talking about where they abstain from food for a period of time, you're not supposed to look like you're starving to death. Oh, look at how holy I am. I've been fasting for 3 days or a week. You know, oh, you're losing weight. Yeah, I've been fasting. Oh, you need to lose weight. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me. No, those are the hypocrites. Jesus Christ did not like hypocrites. God did not care for the people in Isaiah 58. In fact, it says, nobody believed anything Isaiah said at the beginning of the book of Isaiah. God is just letting them know, this is your sin. Oh, yeah, they're all, oh, we're talking about God, we're thinking about God, we're seeking God, I want to know, put the scripture on the, but they ain't doing it. And doing it is everything. Go to Matthew 9. This is a great record. Let's start here in verse 9. Jesus Christ is going to call Matthew. Matthew is a tax collector. It's one of the most disgusting jobs that you can have as a Jew. You're working for the Roman government. You are extorting people because what you do is you collect the Roman taxes and then you add a little bit on to yourself. And you get as much out of these people as you can, and that's your salary. And the Romans say this is okay with us. Just give us what we're supposed to get, right? So Jesus is walking down the road, and verse 9 it says, in Matthew 9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. This is the place where you collect. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, and in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Matthew had a lot of friends that were sinners and publicans. And when the Pharisees saw it, oh God help us, the Pharisees are going to see it. See, that's what I mean about fear. Remember that lady, the man born blind, and the parents were so afraid that they wouldn't even say, I don't know how he got healed. Because they were afraid of being thrown out of the synagogue. That kind of bondage, that's what you got to get rid of with people. Oh, I can't say this because somebody will think I'm bad, or I'll get in trouble, or I'll lose my job. The kind of bondage that we live in this day and time is pretty intense. You say certain things online, you're gone. That's why I use Rumble. You know? You can't say certain things for fear that you'll lose your livelihood. That's sick. Anyhow, Jesus is hanging out with Matthew at his house. He's got lots of friends that are sinners and publicans. And when Jesus heard what the Pharisees said, and it says, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, why eat your master with publicans and sinners? Why are you eating with these people, these crud, this low life? And when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. These are the people I'm here to help. See, what was it that's the fast? You know, get rid of the wickedness. Help people, your own and others. Break the bondage. You know, what kind of bondage would it be to break to have somebody who's an outcast all of a sudden welcomed in? Somebody who's hated to be cared for and loved. And Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go you and learn what it means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. You know, and then John the Baptist guys, the other religious group. All right, they're a better religious group. I mean, you know, John is a good guy, right? And when he came, then came unto him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, and thy disciples fast not? See, these guys were taught to fast. We do it all the time. Now, it doesn't say it's bad. It doesn't say it's good. But they're criticizing Jesus' men for not fasting. And again, that's not what Isaiah 58 is talking about. You're not supposed to be showing off and having strife because you are fasting. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? You know, they're not going to be sad and in great need here if I'm with them. I'm the bridegroom. They are my bridal party. This is a party. But the day will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. So there'll come a time when they will fast in the future when Jesus is not with them. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment, and that which is put in to fill it up takes from the garment and rent, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runs out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. This is a parable where Jesus Christ just was dealing with what he's dealing with. You got to go back to the context. I'm not here to patch up what you guys, the Pharisees, are doing, and I'm certainly not here to mess around with what John was doing. I got a new thing. What my ministry is about is new compared to what is old. And then in Luke it says, you know, but people prefer the old. But again, fasting is mentioned, but Jesus' people aren't doing it. They will in the future. But I'm not so sure that it's necessary today, because I got Christ in me. He's closer to me than my very breath. I bet you they were fasting between the time that he was in the ground. But you know what? This is just my thought. There's no command. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing right with. You do what you believe, but do not think that it's just taking food and just sacrificing eating that makes you fast to get closer to God. Do his word. Do what he says to do. That's what gets you closer to God. That's what God's fast is about. Not your diet. Otherwise, the guys are starving in the desert, real close to God. And I ain't, because I'm eating three meals a day plus a little bit in between. I'm sorry about that. Go to Micah. You know, I judge people on their weight for holiness. Micah, we spent a little time in that book, didn't we? And just want to show you, Jesus Christ was talking, go learn what there is about mercy, what it means. And again, in the book of Micah, we see God's people not doing the word. We see them, we're going to chapter 6, we see them where they are mistreating each other, stealing from each other, hurting each other, doing bondage with each other. And yet, God says, one of the reasons that I got something against you is you don't show mercy. And then it says, they think that doing sacrifices, burnt offerings, and all that, that's what God wants. Verse 7 says, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions? Is that what I want? The fruit of thy body for the sins of my soul? Is that the kind of sacrifice God wants from his people? Burnt offerings, animals, oil. What do I got to do? Give up my firstborn here in order to... He says in verse 8, he hath showed thee, O man, God has showed thee what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Jesus Christ answered the Pharisees with this. You think you're doing the best thing here for the Lord? This is what the Lord wants. Your religion, your acts of where you're looking so good in front of everybody else. No, it's eating with the sinners. It's treating them and caring for them and bringing the word of God to them. This is what a physician does. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ did. This is what it sounds like also in Isaiah 58. That's the fast that I can see. You know, you see the same thing. Just ask yourself what Jesus asked us to do. Our Lord, I want you to love like I have loved. That's hard. That you got to sacrifice to do that. You want to talk about having to give up something? Oh, I got to give up my attitude. I got to give up my evil thoughts. I got to give up what comes natural. I gotta love a Judas. Because that's who he was loving. And that was the example right in front of those men's faces. The man who betrayed me. Love like I've loved. So, you want to fast? How about forgiveness? How about mercy? You know, it says in Matthew chapter 5, be like your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the rain to come down on the just and the unjust. He doesn't treat anybody differently. You know, walking around without hypocrisy is part of the fast. You know, being kind, gentle, forgiving, care. These are basic things in our Christian walk that we've read all the time. But again, if you don't do it, you ain't fasting. If you are doing it, then you is another way to think about it. When I did the section teaching on worship, you know, when I changed, the renewed mind is an act of worship, right? I bow to God, and I put on his word, and I put off the old. That's worship. When I tithe, that was worship. When the words come out of my mouth, from my heart, praise and love to God, that's worship. You know, then I'm acting as a priest. Those are the sacrifices of giving, the sacrifice of loving, walking in love, the sacrifice of living for him, to choose to think the word that he thinks. Well, this is a different subject, but it's the same kind of reality. I am giving up and doing it his way. And I think that's the primary thing here for what God wants as far as the fast. You know? And that's what I wanted to share with you.